Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
I want you to think back to when you were growing up. For some of you, that might be a longer journey than for others. But at some point, we were all asked a very similar question, regardless of where you grew up or what part of the country or whether you had siblings or your birth order. At some point, some adult or family member or teacher came to you and asked, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" I want you to think back to that when you were a kid. How did you answer that question? What did that look like for you before you ever started on your journey to adulthood? What was that journey going to look like for you? What was your answer? And I would guess that most of us probably had huge dreams. When that question was asked, we had sizable plans and these towering aspirations. Steve Jobs said that we all grow up wanting to put a ding in the universe. And I think that's probably true with most of us here. When I was five, I wanted to be like most boys. I wanted to be a superhero. And so my plan was to rid the world of crime and evil. And my brother and I, we would play superheroes like most siblings did. He was older than me, but we would fight against each other, both as superheroes. And he would always be someone who was rather invincible. He would be Superman. And being the older brother, he got to make me be Aquaman. And so I was, Aquaman wasn't at the top pinnacle of superheroes. And so whenever we would fight, I would try to use my superpowers, and he would remind me that we live in a desert and there's no superpowers available because there's no water around us. And I'd go to my mom crying, but that's what older brothers do. And I would guess for all of us, we had dreams like that. When I was 9 or 10, I realized that being a superhero was foolish and that was never going to happen. So I grabbed onto something that was more realistic. And I was going to be a professional soccer player. And my dad was born and raised in Germany and came over when he was 18. And we grew up, watching soccer. And that was my dream at 9 or 10. And at 15, I became a little more realistic. And I just wanted to be a paramedic in Colorado. And then at the age of 20, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I find it interesting that our dreams are chopped down the older that we get. And that we no longer want to make a ding in the world. We really just need to try to survive the world. And I want you to think back to when you were growing up. How did you answer that question? And then I also want you to think about this. When was the last time that you were asked that question? When was the last time that somebody asked? Now, at some point, the age varies. People just stop asking that question. And granted, it would be a little weird to go up to somebody and say, "What do you want to do when you grow up?" It'd be odd to ask that to a 28-year-old, but I think it's deeper than that. I think we stop asking that question almost because at some point we realize that maybe that question is no longer relevant. That maybe we get a little bit jaded and we think, it was a good question, but it's not really pertinent anymore. It's not really relevant anymore. And that question loses its allure, and adulthood becomes the place where dreams go to die, and we settle into whatever is needed to pay the bills. And for many, if not most of us here, we wake up one day and we find ourselves working in a cubicle or whatever your cubicle is. We at a job that we're less than passionate about, maybe selling products that we're less than interested in and making money for a company that we really don't believe in. And we have our own personal boss that's the version of Michael Scott that we have to go and face every day. And at some point we ask the question, is this really it? I mean, is this all that there is? We fall into what's known as the career gap. And the career gap is between what we wanted to do and what we actually find ourselves doing. The career gap is between our dreams and our current reality, because we all have these dreams of what we thought we would do, but then there's this reality of what we're doing, and that space in between is the career gap. And the larger the gap, the greater the frustration, and the greater the discontentment, and the greater the detachment. And as kids, we want to put a ding in the universe, and as adults, man, we just kind of settle to just stay ahead of our visa bill. And every now and then, that dream is sparked, and we come out of frustration, but Reality and visa seems to suck us back in. And so how do we respond when we're wedged into the career gap? When you're less than satisfied with what you do for a living, when it seems to be meaningless, when there seems to be no point or no purpose, how should we respond? And I think we have one of three options. I think, number one, we can stop dreaming. I mean, that's an option for us where we can look at work as being a penalty box between weekends and just grind it out with our head down and live for the weekends and ultimately just wait for that eternal weekend. We get to leave this life and have eternal heavenly barbecues and no more stress and no more, you know, nonsense going on in the workplace. We can, you know, fall in line with the rest of society. And there was a commercial that was out years ago of individuals in a line, and they were just uttering this mindless chant of sorts. And they just kept saying, get up, go to work, go home, go to bed. Get up, go to work, go home, go to bed. Get up, go to work, go home, go to bed. And then somebody would change it where they said, get up, go to work, go to McDonald's, go home, go to bed. Get up, go to work, go to McDonald's, go home, go to bed. And I mean, there's an option for us, right? I mean, we can just believe that stop dreaming altogether and just, you know, give up on life and see McDonald's as their only source of hope in this meaningless existence. For some of you that like Big Macs, that's right up your alley. You're like, yeah, McDonald's, I love it. But I think that the second option that we can fall into is we can keep dreaming, but we can complain. You know, we can have our dreams and we can complain every day at 5 o'clock when your shift is over, complain to everybody around the water cooler or complain to anyone who will listen or give a rant on Facebook about how bad your boss is or your coworkers or on your way home, call your spouse or family or friends and just go off on them on how unfair life is and how you've fallen into the career gap. I mean, that's an option. We can stop dreaming and complain. But I think there's another option. I think it's behind door number three that we can kind of explore today. Now, let me just stop, though, because if this is where you think that I'm going to go motivational speaker on you, if this is where you think I'm just going to tell you to believe in yourself a little bit more and, you know, you can do whatever you want to do and just believe in yourself, if this is where you think I'm going to, you know, sell you a t-shirt, believe, achieve, and receive, you're going to be disappointed. All right, because I'm not going motivational speaker. This isn't my time to step in to be Joel Osteen, to say with a big, you know, Texas grin on my face, something cliche like, you can't soar with the eagles while you're hanging around with the turkeys. I mean, that's just not who I am. So if that's what you're looking for, you're going to be disappointed. However, I want to present a third option to us. In the midst of a frustrating work experience, and I'm not trying to minimize that for any of us, our third option when we find ourselves in the career gap, is to change our focus. Now, I'm going to explain what that means. We're going to kind of pick that apart a little bit. Changing our focus, option three, starts by asking an entirely different question. It begins with a paradigm shift, and meaning that instead of living in the frustration of the career gap and allowing it to beat you or drain you or to bleed us of life each week, instead of doing what even most Christians do, and that's constantly asking God to remove us from the situation, and we pray for a new job or a new boss or different coworkers or to go into a new department. And we do that because we all hear that God has a wonderful plan for our life, and so we're always asking God, well, where's this wonderful plan? And so we can do that, and we can pray that God, you know, ask constantly, God, what are you leading me to do? But option three takes a different approach, and it begins by asking a different question. It's a different prayer. Rather than the prayer that we constantly give, God, what are you leading me to do? We ask God something different. We say, God, who are you leading me to be? Because often what we find is that we want God to remove us from a difficult situation. So our prayer is, God, what are you leading me to do? Give me insight. Give me wisdom. And I have people ask me, pray for wisdom, that I'll know what God is leading me to do. And sometimes I think our prayer needs to be, God, who are you leading me to be? Because sometimes I don't think God is so interested in getting us out of that situation that we hate because the next situation puts us in something that's very similar. And I think that God's not always interested in removing us out of a situation, but is more interested in building something in us while in that situation. And so asking the question, God, who are you leading me to be? Now notice the shift. It's not, God, what are you leading me to do? But it's, God, who are you leading me to be? It's our to do versus to be. Now, I'm not suggesting that we abandon prayers for direction and insight and that God would lead us, but I am suggesting that we shift our focus from doing to being. Because most Christians, myself included, when we're in a situation that we don't like, ask to be removed. And I believe that there's always something to be learned in the midst of the situation that we're asking to be removed from. And so that starts with this shift in thinking of asking God, who are you leading me to be? And this slight shift has the ability to change our attitudes and our work habits and lessen the frustration that occurs in that 50 to 60% of our waking hours that we're spending at work. It allows us to see the big picture, that we can have a job and even get a better job, but if God hasn't accomplished something in us, if we haven't worked out our salvation, if we're not being transformed into the image of Christ, then just making a lateral move to another position in God's view is that we miss the point. And so sometimes I think our prayer needs to be, God, who are you leading me to be? It's a slight change. And Jesus gives us some insight on how we start down that road. And he gives this illustration, this parable found in Luke 16. And many of the parables that Jesus gives are about finances or jobs or wealth or business. And in this particular one, he tells a business story. And locked in this story is the best career advice that you'll ever receive. It's an illuminating story. It's very perplexing in Luke 16. We're not going to do it full justice today. We're just going to look at it through the lens of our topic. And here's what Jesus says in Luke 16. There's a parable of a rich man and a manager who is being unwise and accused of wasting the employer's possession. And so the rich man or the employer asks for his employee, his manager, to give an account of his management transactions. And the manager is busted because that which he was entrusted with, he wasn't using correctly. And the manager then asked himself, I'm going to lose my job, knew he was going to lose his job. And he was too old, the scripture tells us, to go out and do manual labor, and he was too proud to beg. And so his solution was then to go to the clients that he worked for or worked with on behalf of his boss and to cut a deal with them. And so he said, well, how much do you owe? And they said, I owe 800 gallons of olive oil. He said, let's make it 400 and we'll call it good. And he was trying to get into the good graces of those that he dealt with because he said that when I lose this job, if I can get in on their good side, they'll take me in. They'll care for me. They'll watch out for me. They'll help me with other employment. And out of this complex parable, which applications lead in various directions, at the end of all this, Jesus gives some really powerful words. Here's what he says in verse 10. He says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's good advice, but it's not the greatest advice I've ever received. But we're going to dig into it, and you're going to see how this applies, that there's a key principle in this. And so here's the breakdown. In this parable, the owner is doing what every owner on the planet does. He's inspecting his employees. He's looking out over his business, and he's looking for those employees. He's studying them to figure out who can be trusted with what they've already been given. Because whoever can be trusted with what they've already been given can be trusted with more. Not just when someone is watching or when the spotlight is on. Every owner of any business, every manager of any business is looking at employees and looking at those who can be trusted when the spotlight is not on them. Now listen, here's what Jesus is saying. Just like any owner of any business, there is another owner. The owner of everything who is also paying attention to who is being faithful in the small things. Because it's a sign of who can be trusted with more. Now, that sounds simple, but here's our disconnect from this truth. oftentimes we're over here and we're praying for God to bless us with more customers. And I think sometimes God is looking at how we're handling the customers He's already given us. And we're praying for the next big phone call, and God is saying, let's see how you handle the phone call that I already sent. And we're praying for a larger leadership role in our company, and God is seeing how we handle the role we've already been given and how we will manage the three people who are under us. And we're praying for more, and God is saying, let's see how you handle what you already have. And we're praying for greater opportunity or a better position or a better job, and I think God is watching to see how we handle the position we're already in. And Jesus says this: you want the greatest career advice you're ever going to receive. Advice that will pay dividend both in this life and the next. You want to know how to shift your focus from a focus that's just asking God, what do you want me to be, to asking God, who do you want me to be? He says this: regardless of what job you find yourself in, regardless of the career gap you're stuck in, or regardless who your boss is, regardless how badly you want to change careers, the greatest career advice you'll ever receive, and Jesus said it, is to remember that the owner is watching. That regardless of what your job looks like tomorrow, there is an owner above your owner who is watching to see if you will be faithful in the little things. This means, here's what it means, that our response in any job is to ultimately leave the future of that job in God's hands while we are found faithful in what is in front of us today. Now, it sounds simple, but we have a challenge. And our challenge is that we're easily sidetracked, and in any job, we become consumed with all of the things that are out of our control. The boss and the coworkers, or the schedule that you're placed on, or this customer who ruined your day. Those are all things that are out of your control. And we become worried and anxious and stressed and upset and angry about things that ultimately we have no control over. And what Jesus would tell us, that's an option for you, but the best thing that you can do is focus on the few things that are within your control, being faithful in the small things. So what are those things that are under our control, those things that we can be faithful in? Well, here they are. Our attitude. Regardless of what your job is and what it looks like, your attitude, my attitude on the work site is always under my control. That being faithful in the little things. Number two is our work ethic. You control that. I control that. It's completely our choice. No one can cause that to change. That's completely on me. Number three, the level and the quality of our work. The quality of our work, the proficiency of our work, it's on you. It's on me. That is under my control. Fourth one is our decision as to who I will ultimately work for. We talked about this last week where the words of Paul says that whatever you do, do it as unto your working for the Lord Himself. Now, we can choose to work for him or her or this company or that company, but ultimately our decision of who we ultimately work for rests upon you. And when today or tomorrow you step into your office or punch in or sit down, whatever it is that you do, there's a basic decision that we bring to the workplace. Who am I going to work for today? What is that going to look like today? Whether you're a stay-at-home parent or whether you're in school, the question is the same. Who am I going to work for today? The wise person leaves the future in God's hand while focusing their energy on the little things that they control, to be faithful in the small things because the owner is paying attention. So listen, as we wrap up this series, we talked about a lot of different things. But let me just close by reminding us of something critical, that God is far more interested in my character than he is in my career track. Now, we may not like to hear that because we want to get out of our current employment situation and onto something different, but God is far more interested in your character than he is in your career track. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying God is not interested at all, but he's more interested in your character development, because the depth of your character ultimately determines the length and the breadth of your career track. We don't need any more stories of somebody who had great competency and so much potential, and yet their competency was far greater than their character. And eventually there's a fall and they're removed from position. In God's economy, character always trumps competency. And so here's what it means. Regardless of our current employment, we get to choose daily whether we will allow God to further develop our character or simply allow employment circumstances to foster greater frustration within us. Every one of that's our choice. Will we enter into a workplace that may not be ideal, not to minimize your situation, but will we enter into a workplace with the idea of not praying, God, get me out of this place, not God, what do you want me to be, but God, who do you want me to be? The prayer isn't God, not the prayer, God, what do you want me to do, but God, who do you want me to be? That is on us. That's our choice. If you're going through a career transition or you don't like your job or you're in a difficult relationship with your boss, whatever you face tomorrow, in light of this principle, lies an extraordinary opportunity. Because look, the more difficult your situation, the deeper God can grow your character. I know we don't like to hear that, and there's no motivational rah, 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 believe in yourself and you can do it. Because I believe, because God is more interested in our character, there's times where he leaves us in a position we're not all that happy with because he's more interested in who you will become than just moving you on to the next job. And so there is this opportunity. The more difficult that situation that you face tomorrow, the greater opportunity God has to cultivate your character. So that means that your boss tomorrow that you dread to see, who you think is a moron, you should go into his or her office and sit down and thank them. Because through them being a moron, they are cultivating fertile ground for God to stir your character. I suggest you go in and tell your boss that tomorrow. Thank them. Just say, my pastor told me to thank you for being a moron. Just tell him. And if any of my employees come into my office, you're fired, and say that, okay? The ultimate question that we need to answer, what our prayers need to focus on when faced with a job that is less than satisfying, is not, God, what are you leading me to do, but God, who are you leading me to be? And if you want to align your life as we close out this series, if you want to align your life to be on the path that God is calling you to be, ultimately, if you want to align yourself with God's plan for you and his plan for you for your future, it starts by being faithful with what you have today. It's the greatest career advice Jesus could give us because the owner is paying attention. And he's deepening your character even though it may be extremely difficult. Because you can change jobs or departments or supervisors, but if God hasn't birthed in you what he wants to birth in you, then God said we've missed it and we've wasted the point. So, I'm not asking you to deny your reality. Your job really may suck. I mean, you may have the worst job known to man. But it's in the middle of that reality that God still wants to develop something in you because he's more interested in your character track than he is in your career track. So here's what I ask as we close. What will you and I do differently, knowing that tomorrow, today, whenever that is, when we show up to work, knowing that the owner is watching? And not your boss, they may be in another plant, another side of the school, or in a different department or whatever, but the big boss is watching. So what are we going to do different tomorrow because we're convinced that the owner is watching? And when we step into that, knowing that he's watching, would we begin to change our prayer to God, who do you want me to be? And yes, God, I'm asking that you would lead me on to the job that you have for me, but don't waste the opportunity with the job that I have, because character development trumps your career track. Let's pray. Lord, I know that there are many people here with jobs that are frustrating, and they've been through the grinder and maybe mistreated and undervalued and underappreciated. There are some who are underemployed. And God, I think most of us are guilty to just pray, God, what do you want me to do next? Lord, could we begin to change that prayer to not what do you want me to do, but who do you want me to be? And who you want us to be can start today. It can start tomorrow when we walk into our workplace by simply being faithful in the things that are in our control and allowing you to build character in us. Lord, in our attitudes and in our work ethics and how we represent Christ on the workplace and ultimately who we decide that we work for, Lord, would you begin to stir in us who you want us to be? Lord, that this transformation that you want to see in us can often be greatly helped when we're in situations that are less than perfect. Because our flesh and our spirit is challenged, and we have to decide which will rule. And so, Lord, I pray that tomorrow when we enter into our workplace or those that are going to work after our service today, that we would be faithful in the small things, those things that are under our control. Lord, that we would pull back from conversations that have been unhealthy and slamming other employees or supervisors. That we would be faithful in the little things. That you would accomplish in us a character change that we might become who you want us to be. And Lord, in that, I pray incredible blessings for each person that's here. I pray that you would bless each person, Lord, with great peace and effectiveness on the job site. I pray that you would give favor with employers and employees. I pray that there would be blessings, even financial blessings. But Lord, if that doesn't come or until that comes, would we continue to be faithful in the little things? And would you remind us of that simple phrase, to be faithful in the little things? Lord, I pray this week that we would sense just the greatness of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, speaking and encouraging and leading and guiding us and stirring us inside. I pray that you would pull us towards you, Lord, as we draw near to you. Would you draw near to us? Would you stir just a greater hunger in us to pray or to read your word or to meditate on your word and your principles? And would we sense the presence of God leading us and changing us? Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.